Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Amen. So Matthew 5, from verse 1 to 12, it says this. It says, seeing the crowds, Jesus went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Blessed. We've been talking over these last few weeks about how Jesus defines being blessed and how it's so different to how the world looks at what a blessing is. It's so upside down. You know, we're told that being blessed is being poor in spirit. Being blessed is mourning. Being blessed is being persecuted, being a peacemaker, being merciful. And this is part of what it is to be followers of Jesus. And as we've looked at what blessing is in Christianity versus what the world says, it's so different. It's not about wealth. It's not about status. It's not about success. It's not about material things. Blessing in the Bible actually means to be fortunate. It means to be glad. It means to be happy. It's a state, a spiritual state that impacts us, mind, body, and soul. It's knowing that God is with us. When I think of blessing, it's actually going, God is on me. God is on this. That's what I see blessing is and how it's being put through the word. It's so different to what the world says and what even the church has said sometimes about what blessing is. So that's what we've been looking at. And the scripture we're looking at today, which is verse 5, it actually says, now that was Prem's verse last week, wasn't it? Meekness. How good was that last week? Going low, being meek, being humble. Your posture matters, Prem. How's your posture right now? Yeah, you just shifted. That's good. So verse 6 says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. This is what we're going to focus on today. We're just letting each one of these verses just wash over us. And as we're talking throughout the week at different times with people, you can just see people are really meditating on the Beatitudes. This is the start of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Even this morning, one of our sons, 9:24, Dad, I'm hungry. Dude, you're hungry? What do you mean? What time did you have breakfast? I don't know. A couple of hours ago. And you're hungry. We started to call him hungry because it's always, I'm hungry. I'm hungry. I'm hungry. And they even take it to this next stage. Oh, Dad, I'm starving. Like, dude, do you know what it is to starve? Do you ever catch yourself saying that? Oh, I'm starving. Imagine, just imagine if, as people of God, we were like, Lord, I'm hungry for you. Like, as much as the kids say it, and as much as we say it throughout the day, oh, I just need a little snack. I just need a little something. Imagine if we actually hungered for Jesus in that way. This scripture says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. They will be filled. When I think about hunger, I'm like, what was Jesus talking about? He was talking to people in Israel in the ancient days. And when they heard hunger and thirst, see, the people in those days would get paid 3 pence a day. That's not much. And they would not get a lot out of it, but they were surviving through that. For them, they would eat meat once a week on that wage. Once a week. How often do we get to eat meat? I could eat meat morning, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. But if you don't give me meat for dinner, if I come over to your house, well, pray for me. Because I need meat. If you come over to our house, you're going to be getting some meat of some sort. So when Jesus is talking to them about hunger, because they didn't get paid much, and water wasn't just that easily accessible when they're on long journeys, just like we can just open up the tap, they knew what hunger and thirst meant. We think we know what hunger and thirst means. You can just go get a coffee whenever you want, just to feel good or quench that appetite, whatever it is. They knew what hunger was. But Jesus wasn't just talking about that kind of a hunger. He was talking about a hunger and thirst for righteousness. Hunger is like to be famished. It's to desire something, to long after in an ardent way, long ardently. When you're hungry, it means there's a lack. There's a lack of something. It's not even just a desire. You hunger because it is vital. You need it. You can't live without it. And Jesus says, hunger and thirst for righteousness. If you hunger and thirst for righteousness, then you are blessed. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. They shall be satisfied. Talks about thirsting. It's talking about thirsting after something in the spirit. To desire, to long for. You remember still or sparkling? Man, I love my sparkling water, but it costs money. Tap water, we think it doesn't cost much. So when we go out, we're like, oh, I have tap water. But someone's paying for that water. But there's something that's better than tap, still, or sparkling. What is it? Living water. This is what we're to thirst for. The Holy Spirit. Living water. Jesus said to that woman in John chapter 5 or chapter 4, I know of a water that you need. And when you have that water, you would not thirst. But he's telling people before that you need to hunger and thirst for righteousness. So how come I'm still going to thirst if I have that water? What he's saying is, if you thirst for me, if you thirst for righteousness, you won't thirst for the other things. I will give you what you need. Seek you first the kingdom of God and His, and all these other things will be added unto you. Righteousness. When you think about righteousness, righteousness is what is right. That's what righteousness is. It's the act of doing that which is in agreement with God's standards. That's what righteousness is. Doing that which aligns with God. Integrity, virtue. He says, hunger and thirst for righteousness. And he says, if you do that, you'll be satisfied. This means you will be fed. It means you'll be filled. So he's saying, if you hunger for this, I will provide it. And we know that he's already provided it. Who doesn't like a good feed? Hey, who? You guys are getting hungry. You're like, where are we going with this? I'm hungry. I want to eat now. But when you think about being hungry for something, you actually can't hunger for something until you've actually tasted it. You don't really hunger for things you haven't tasted. You have to have tasted it before. You're like, oh, but how does a child know to hunger for milk or when they're crying and all of that? Or how does a new Christian who's just come to the Lord start to hunger for God? The things we're all created in His image. So we already have that hunger in us, but it's only once we taste what He has for us, which is righteousness. Once we taste that, we hunger for it. But before we taste it, we're looking for something to fill that space that nothing else can fill but God. So we don't hunger for Him. We're just filling it with this, you know, the this. We're just filling with that, you know, the that. Whatever it is, we fill it with so many other things. But there's actually an invitation from Jesus and God to taste and see that the Lord is good. You can't hunger for what you've never tasted. For one to hunger and thirst, one has to have tasted it before. It's so easy to look in the wrong places. There's many counterfeits out there of what God is that we get led astray. We all have sinful desires in us that we can pursue and satisfy, and that actually then starves the hunger that we're supposed to have for God. And we get filled on all these other things. But the invitation is there to feed on God. Psalm 34 verse 8 says, taste and see that the Lord is blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. There's that word again, blessed. Blessed is the person who takes refuge in God. Taste and see that the Lord is good. See, once you taste, you realize, wow, this is what I've always needed. This is what's been missing in my life. But the blessed ones starve. What does that mean? What I'm trying to say with that is we are actually to starve the things of the flesh. We're supposed to starve our flesh so we can feed our spirit. But even as you feed your spirit, because you taste who God is and what He is, you want more of it. But if you're feeding on other things, there's no space. So taste and see that the Lord is good. It says back in that verse that blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. Who's going to take refuge in someone they don't trust? Who's going to take refuge in someone they're not going to obey? So when He's talking about hunger and thirst for righteousness, this righteousness is about a right relationship with God. It's about a relationship of obedience. It's a relationship of trust. This is what we're to hunger for, relationship with Him. And when we talk about righteousness, we know that righteousness doesn't come as a result of our works, of what we do. Righteousness comes through grace, through what Jesus did. He paid for it. See, like I said, someone has to pay for the water, even if it's coming out of the tap. Well, Jesus paid for our righteousness. He paid for us to have a relationship with Him. So even though righteousness comes by grace, we receive it freely by grace, we actually still have to walk it out. We receive it, but then we've got to actually walk it out. We've got to walk in righteousness. He gives us a starting point, and He's with us through the whole time, but we take refuge in Him. We've got to trust Him. We've got to obey Him. We've got to ask Him, what are You saying? What do You want me to do? So even though righteousness comes through grace, we have to walk it out. And one actually has to take, I have to take, we have to take steps in order to eat and to drink. You can be hungry. There can be food in the fridge. There can be food in the foyer. But if you don't take steps to get to the foyer or to go to the fridge, you continue to be hungry. So there's steps. Even though righteousness comes through grace, there's steps you and I need to take and can take to walk in righteousness, to eat, to taste and see that the Lord is good. You don't just feel hunger. You just don't feel it. You actually have to take steps towards the table to eat. What steps are you taking towards the table? See, when we talk about righteousness, this is actually talking about Jesus. It's talking about Jesus. He is righteousness. Hunger and thirst for righteousness. Hunger and thirst for Jesus. He is righteousness. Come with me to Jeremiah chapter 5. Jeremiah 23, 5 to 6. And maybe if someone can turn the heater off for me, because I'm getting hot and I can see people are getting hot. If anyone disagrees, just wave your hands. You want more heat? Wow. That's only one, so let's go with a 99. Oh, man. Jeremiah 23, 5 to 6. It says, behold, the days are coming. This is a prophecy from Jeremiah to God's people. It says, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell securely. And this is the name by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness. They're talking about Jesus. He is your righteousness. He is my righteousness. When you get saved, when you say yes to Jesus, when you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, he comes into your life. At that point, he makes you righteous. Your position in God becomes righteous. Even though you might not feel righteous, even though you might not act righteous all the time, he sees you as righteous. But then we have to walk it out. We have to hunger and thirst for him so he can teach us and show us how to walk righteously in him. Jesus, pure, sinless, the righteous one. He exchanged his righteousness for my sin, for your sin. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says this, for our sake he made him, God made him, Jesus, to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is who we are. This is what we have become. This is how we're to walk. Yet we're still to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. He is the priority. One has to take steps in order to eat and drink. See, it takes work and effort. Sometimes it can sound like we're being legalistic or religious when we say it takes work and effort. But the Bible says you have to work out your salvation. We are saved, but then we actually have to walk in it. It takes work to say no. It takes work to say, Holy Spirit, help me. I want to say no to that so that you can fill me, so that you can feed me, so I can make the right decisions. We sang it this morning. As the deer pants for water, for streams of water, so my soul longs after you. Psalm 42, 1 to 2. As a deer pants for flowing streams. Just picture that deer. So my soul, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God. Can we say that? Can I say that? My soul thirsts for you, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Man, that's, imagine if we ask ourselves that question frequently. When shall I come and appear before God? Oh, but God's with me all the time. No, he wants you. He's with you all the time, but he wants you to acknowledge him. and go deep with Him. Does my soul long for Him? Am I hungry for Him? See, that deer has to move. It can long for the streams, but it needs to go and find the stream. It needs to move. It needs to get there. It needs to move its feet. So we all have to take steps. We get to take steps to eat and to drink. It's by grace, but your posture matters. Oh, He's given it to us, but we still need to actually position ourselves in a place to hear from Him, to be led by Him, to be directed by Him. So how's your posture in Him looking? How's my posture in Him looking? Am I going to the streams? Where am I drinking from? Where am I eating from? Just think about your meals during the week. Meal planning, any meal planners here? How intentional are you with your meal planning? Because when you're not intentional with your meal planning, shopping before the week comes, when you're not intentional with your meal planning, it's going to cost you more. Because you might end up getting takeout every other night. Even if you've got all the money in the world, it's still costing you more than if you'd planned it out. How intentional. People are so intentional with meal prep. Get your lunch ready for work so you don't have to buy out. Imagine if we were that intentional with feeding on the Lord. The nutrition that would come. The savings that would come in that you're not going to make mistakes that you would have made if you hadn't heard from the Lord when He wants to give you direction. He wants to save you. That's the savings. He knows what's coming that day. He knows what your boss is about to put you through today. But when you go and eat from His word, first thing in the morning, He knows what to feed you. When you open the word, He knows what to give you before things come. When you just, we want a snack, right? We like to snack. Imagine just snacking on the Lord throughout the day. Just get a little snack. Oh, I had my time with the Lord this morning, but you know what? I'm still going to look at the word. It's 10 o'clock, but I'm just going to go look who I've highlighted in my Bible. Oh, yeah, I'm going to take my Bible to work with me. And I'm just going to have a quick look at the last thing I highlighted. That's going to do something for your spirit. That's snacking. Blessed is the man who hungers and thirsts for righteousness, for they will be filled. What do you intentionally do day to day? What do you intentionally do day to day to feed on the one who is righteous? We know He's righteous. We know our righteousness comes from Him. We know we need to walk it out. So what do you do day to day to actually feed on the righteous one? What are some things you can do that work for you? You know, that diet needs to look like word. It needs to look like word, like getting into the word and prayer. If you put word and prayer into that diet, that's got to impact your decisions. That's got to impact your words to other people. That's got to impact my mindset. That's got to impact my attitude. That's got to impact how I think of others. Word and prayer. Where do you intentionally put those in your day? Just like you have meal times. Word and prayer. We talked about word at Team Advances the other night. We talked about soap. Scripture, observation, application, prayer. That when you come and have time in the Word, you can get your journal out, get a pen out. There's something about writing things down instead of just typing it. But actually writing, there's a connection between your mind and the pen and your spirit. That just helps to internalize and remember things. So you write down the scripture when you read the Word. What jumps out at me? You go, whoa. That verse one, I couldn't get away from it in Psalm 42:1. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul longs for you. You write the whole scripture down. Then you write an observation, just one page, little paragraph. What are you seeing? What's happening? You've read the whole chapter, and you might talk about what you're seeing. And then application, what am I going to do with that? Do I long for him like the deer longs for water? What am I going to do? Well, I'm going to wake up at this time, or I'm going to pray at this time. I'm going to get into the word with my wife or with my friend. You write your application down. What are you going to change? Then you write down your prayer. Lord, help me to stop hungering for things that are temporal, that are not eternal, but to hunger for you, for your heart. Your soap is done. But as you do that, you've put the word in your heart. You've just fed. That's one way of getting in the word. Something that's worked for me for 25 years. Prayer. Make it part of your diet. You got to take steps in order to eat and to drink. Hunger and thirst for righteousness. We starve our flesh from what it desires and we fill it up with his word and spirit. What do you mean hunger your flesh? I mean starve your flesh. There's things that my flesh needs. The Lord knows what your flesh needs. But when you go to him first and ask what he needs and what he wants for you, he won't let you neglect what you need. That's what it means. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you, the things that he wants for you. The more you have of him, the more hungry you get. Has anyone noticed that? The more of God you have, it's actually the more hungry you get. You want more of him. When I come to the word and I really focus on it and I'm not making the tick box and just like, I just want to do it, then I'm done. But when I come to it genuine, I'm like, Lord, I need more time. And don't feel bad if you don't feel like that. It takes steps, habits, practice for something like that to become a delight. We've heard it before. When you drink coffee for the first time, like, yeah, what's that? But the more coffee you have, the more coffee you want, the more coffee you need. Try it with God. Try it with the word. Hunger and thirst for righteousness, and he will fill you. But then if you feed on other things that are not of God, that he's not asking you to feed on, there's no room. You're not even going to realize that you need God or the desire until things are gone real bad maybe. And God just allows you to go through it to get your attention and like, oh Lord, I need you. You can't hunger for what you've never tasted. One has to take steps in order to eat and to drink. So, what I want to encourage you in today that we can do and that we get to do is actually we get to lock into a rhythm. There's a rhythm that we can lock into. You know, I love to run. It's hard work, but I enjoy it. But when you're running and you want to get a certain time or a certain result, you build into something, but you get to a place where you lock into a pace and you get into a flow. And it's just happening. And running is probably not the best example because you are going to get tired at some point. You need to stop. But you lock into this rhythm, into this thing. Now, there's a rhythm that we can lock into with the Lord when it comes to hunger and thirst. It's a rhythm. Have you heard of rhythm? Yeah, man, rhythm. I just woke a few people up with that rhythm back in my Jamaica days. The Jamaicans call it rhythm. We call it rhythm. But this rhythm is fill up, give out. Fill up, man, give out. Fill up, give out. I didn't plan that, but that's the rhythm. You fill up and you give out. Just think about your cars. Your car needs to be filled up. But then you need to, it gets to empty, doesn't it? It uses all the fuel to get you places, to see people, to get your work done, go see the doctor, all good things. Hopefully good things. But then you have to fill it up again. You fill it up it goes to empty. You fill it up, it goes to empty. And so there's this rhythm as Christians that we need to have. We need to be filled with the word. We need to be filled with the spirit. But then we need to give out. It's not just for you. What God gives you in the word is not just for you. There's people that need that in how you speak, in how you act, in how you react, in what you share, in the wisdom you give, the love you give. You get to use it. You receive and you release. We don't keep it to ourselves. So we need to lock into a rhythm of filling up and giving out. It's not a cycle. Cycle's got structure. Cycle is mechanical. A rhythm has a flow to it. A rhythm is about relationship. God fills you up. He talks about the Holy Spirit filling us. It's a continuous filling. When we go to the Word, there's never like, oh, it's just the same thing all over again. You read the same scripture you read last year and it shows you something different. Same context, same principle, but God reveals more in there. A rhema word in season for that point in time. That is not a cycle. That is a relationship that has so much depth and richness in it that God is inviting us to be filled up and to give out. You might be like, but bro, I've got an EV. I don't have to fill up. But you still have to charge that thing, right? I mean, electrical vehicles. You're like, what's EV? I'm the same. I don't have an electric vehicle. But you still have to charge it to get somewhere. So you get the charge and then you use it. How do we fill up? We feed our spirits. That's how we fill up. See, all of us have an inner man in us, an inner person. When you get saved, God deposits his spirit into that inner spirit that you have. But then he wants to continue to fill you and fill you and fill you to overflowing. So when you just ask him, Lord, fill me. When he gives you the word, when you go to the word actually feeds your spirit. It's what it does. It feeds your spirit. And then out of that, the mouth speaks. The thoughts come. The tension happens with all the other things you've got. But we need to feed on him, to be filled up, to actually meditate on it. It's part of what SOAP is all about. It's about meditating on his word. Not just reading it, going in one ear, coming out the other. But you actually slow down, sit down, shut the door, and just be with the Lord. By yourself. We all need time by ourselves with the Lord. That's where he fills you. He can fill you, yes, with your husband, with your friends. But it's got to start just you and him. Because he needs to fill you to also help your husband and your friends. And vice versa. When he fills you, remember, it's not just for you. It's for others. So you got to share it with others. Things you read in the word, the revelations you get. Text someone about it. When you have a coffee with your friend, tell them about it. Even at work with your boss or your colleague, tell them about it. They need it. Don't make a decision for them. Assume they don't need it. God will give you ways of sharing it. Don't get fat. What am I talking about? As Christians, we receive, we receive, we go on YouTube, we watch what this preacher's saying, we watch what that podcast is saying, we get in the word, we get all the revelation, but we get fat if we don't share it with someone else. So much information is accessible these days. Who are you sharing with? Because what happens when you get fat in that way is that then there's no room for God to give you more. And if you're not using it, there's no movement. When you get filled up as a car, that helps you to move, to get somewhere. So when you get the fuel, there is purpose for it. We need to use it. But I've got fuel, Steve. I'm filled up. I've been with the Lord, but I'm not getting anywhere. But have you turned on the car? Have you turned it on? Have you put the key in? The key could be sharing the word with someone. The key could be texting someone what you got. The key could be meeting up with someone else. The key could be praying for someone. Asking your life group leaders, who needs prayer in the church? What else can we do? But how can I hunger and thirst when I'm going through such a hard time? How can I hunger and thirst for God? For I can't even open the word. How can I do that when I'm going through so much? This is only for people that are doing good. No, it's not. Psalm 23 verse 5 says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. The Lord is your shepherd. He is my shepherd. The Lord is your shepherd. He leads you. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for he is with me. So no matter what you're going through, this tells me that God prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. What happens at a table as the worship team comes up? What happens at the table? You eat. You consume. We're being told in the presence of your enemies. That means in your hard times, in your suffering, in your trials. As people are coming against you, whatever trials you're having, God prepares a table before you. So there's still an invitation to eat and to drink when you're going through a hard time. I need to hear this myself. When I'm having a hard day, when people are speaking bad of me, when people are persecuting me, when people are misunderstanding me, when I'm just feeling down because I'm tired, God prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. So as I come to him poor in spirit, hungry and thirsting for righteousness, which is him, I'm told in the word that I will be satisfied. I am told that I will be filled. He has something for you in every single season. So when we say, I'm not getting anywhere, I am full, but I'm not getting anywhere, we're pretty much saying, I've received something, but I haven't used it. Because God's so good. He says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Every good and perfect gift comes from him. What are you doing with what he's put in your hand? Your gifts, your talents, the things that he's shown you, the things he's asked you to do. We get to pray the word. He feeds you with the word. You pray what it says. You use Psalm 23 as your prayer. You prepare a table for me before my enemies. Lord, this is hard. But your word says, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. You prepare a table before me in front of my enemies. What does that verse say at the end again, Dan? Something about anointing. Psalm 23 verse 5. You anoint my head with oil. That means his presence is with you. That means he blesses you. He's on you. Whilst your enemies are doing what they're doing, whilst the enemy is after you, he anoints your head with oil. That's his presence. And your cup overflows. So we pray the word. We share the word with others, with friends. We stand in the gap and we pray for those that can't pray for themselves. You're all intercessors. We can all stand in the gap and pray for someone. You hear about someone in need, pray in that moment. Someone tells you they're in need, pray for them in that moment. Not, I'm going to pray for you. Let me pray for you now. That's part of using what we have, which is his presence. God gives, but he needs us to give him something to work with. He gives. He's so generous. But he needs us to give him something to work with. So that's why we take his word, we memorize it. We say, Lord, I want to see this. I want to understand this. I want to do something with it. But when we don't spend time with him, we're not giving him much to work with. But when we give him our time, oh, I can speak to you. I can instruct you. I can encourage you. I can strengthen you. We give him something to work with.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.